The reading is in the Epistle to the Philippians, and chapter 4, and reading again from the first verse to the end of verse 9. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias, I beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned, that you have both learned and received, and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now, we're still in verse 8. Really, it's been a kind of little series within a series in doing this. And I wonder if you remember where we are. Finally, brethren, let's come to things that are of good reports. Now, I'll remind you again, he's writing to a church that at Philippi, a proud pagan city. Caesar worship was very important there, and certainly they would oppose the gospel, and we know that by the reception that Paul had in his entry to Philippi with his friend. Yet, despite all that, a church was established there in the house of Lydia and then in the house of the jailer as well. But there is always a spiritual battle, and that girl, the spirit of divination, followed them, and an evil spirit had to be cast out. And that really caused a trouble, because it meant that people, that she'd been delivered, and she was bringing a great deal of money to her bosses. And a loss of money means a great deal to people. It seems to rule a lot of things. And then, of course, they complained to the authorities, and they were whipped, and they were imprisoned. And then the miracle, if you remember, of the earthquake, and also of the jailer being converted and his family, and eventually their freedom to go on their way. Now, that's what they had. Now, they're Christian people. They lived in a dark city, but light had come into that city. They had believed on the Son of God. They had believed that he had died for their sins. They had believed that. They had believed that there's a way to heaven. Now, there's going to be, from now on, a spiritual battle, not only against the authorities and the cruel and the heavy Roman rule, but also against Satan. You see, this was a gateway to Europe. And when you think of that, it's a small wonder, really, that God gave Paul that vision. A man from Macedonia came and said, come over to us. Well, he had planned, nothing wrong in that, to go in another direction. But you see how important it was. It was a gateway to a major continent, and a very costly one at that. But it was, and how vital it was, this gateway of Philippi. Now, there is a constant battle for the Christian, a battle for the mind. We are established in the faith. Our future is secure. But still, there is the Satan comes to our minds, and it is there he brings distress very often. So we have to guard really what John Owen called, the Puritan, the frontiers of our minds. It's what we allow to get in there will affect our thinking, which affects our behavior, and even affects our health. You know, it's as powerful as that. So the mind has got to be guarded in what it allows to enter in. Now then, they were Christian people, and they known of the grace of God, and they loved their God. Yet they would be harassed on all sides. Now, who are these people of good report? Now, where would you choose? Now then, I looked at a few commentaries, and you could have a variety of differences, because it is wide open for an opinion. You know, it doesn't precisely say what the good report is. But the notes I have here, it can be many things, quite acceptably so. But I felt it should be scriptural. And in Hebrews 11, verses 1 and 2, we have, "Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report." And that's the one phrase, I don't think that's anywhere else, you know, that is linked with faith. And I thought, well, that's a good starting point, that it is men of good report are men and women of faith. That is primarily it. Now, the description of faith. Now, faith, as in some ways, is a substance, is the assurance, is a guarantee, is the evidence of what's coming. Somebody put it like this: it's the title deeds of an inheritance, the title deeds. It is lively and active and lays hold on those realities on which is hope is fixed. So faith lays hold on that which is hope is fixed at glory. So if you have saving faith, which we'll look at in a moment, you've got the title deeds in your hand, has not yet been fulfilled, not until you're in glory. And although your soul may be saved now, but in the second coming, both body and soul are saved. But you have in your hand now the title deeds to say, "I have a place in heaven." For example, we have an inheritance, incorruptible, an inheritance. And we have the title deeds for that inheritance. Now, what is this faith? Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. And powerfully lays hold on these things. But we need to know something about faith itself, so we have to go back a little in our minds. We have to consider the initial experience we had. And sometimes I wish I'd emphasized some things a bit more, but it's very difficult to go back and remember exactly what you said to different individuals. But I know that oftentimes people say, "Oh, I didn't have repentance, you know." And I think you just surprised me. I don't remember my answers, but you can't know salvation without repentance, because it means you haven't seen your need. You know, you must see your need. You must see that you are a sinner. And repentance means this: turning away from what we are and turning to God. It means that. It's a spiritual thing. It's God that gives that ability. And with it, of course, they call them inseparable twins, repentance and faith. They're gifts. They come from God. That is not our affair. That is what God does. We only know the effect of them. And faith is a very powerful thing. It can be described in many ways as the intellectual, where we know the gospel that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for our sins on the cross. We know that he fulfilled the law of God in our place. We can know those details about the death and life of Christ for us. Now, faith is this. It knows it intellectually to begin with. But if you stay there, you're not saved. Lots of people can give, and I can remember quite a number, they could give all the answers. And if there was a Bible quiz, they could give all the answers. But by now, I know they're far from ever having known the Lord. So There's an intellectual knowledge. The word we have the word intellectual, it means that we have understood. The mind has been enlightened. There is also an emotional feeling in faith. That is, there is a desire, I want to be saved more than anything else. You know, the poor old rich young ruler said he wanted to go to heaven, but not enough. Not enough. He's not willing to leave other things for this. But he wanted it. He felt it was a good thing to have, but he didn't want it enough. So there is also a desire in our hearts. I want this more than any kind of prosperity, more than any position in life, more than any wealth, more than any of these things. I want to be a child of God. I want to go to glory. I'm only here a brief time anyway. And then the last bit about faith is the volitional, where you actually say, I trust, or I will. But I like the division myself, where you have the knowledge and trusting. You don't trust what that which you do not know. And if you trust something you do not know, it's silly, you know. And if you just trust knowledge without trust, you know, if you just take knowledge on its own, well, it's merely purely intellectual. So you have the knowledge, and you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. So then you come to a relationship with him. And if you read at the end of Romans 8, there is nothing that can separate you from that. So we get things like this. Here you see this vital verse I mention every time to you. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. It's so misquoted so often, meaning to be you should always be smiling, you should always be happy. Whatever happens, you should just smile. It does not say that. The joy here is the one in Romans, joy in God. You can have the most appalling circumstances where you do actually weep, and quite rightly so, and nothing wrong about it. You weep, but your heart, your soul, still retains its joy in God. The tears do not take the joy in God away. The overwhelming sorrow or the troubled mind cannot take your joy in God. So what he says, look at the verse very carefully. Rejoice in the Lord. Not how you feel, not your circumstances. Rejoice in the Lord. How often? Always. What's that mean? In all circumstances. And then he says, have you heard me? And again I say, rejoice. So there's something like this. If things go well, we praise him. If things don't go so well, we praise him. So we joy in God. Now then, that's where we are with faith. Things hoped for. So faith is something that is able to take a grasp on things hoped for. As you say to God, I've got the title deeds, and I trust it in the Lord. Now this faith lays hold on the promises of Christ, because it believes in Christ. Title deeds. Now then, we've been pardoned, we've been accepted. And in Peter it says, remember, the end of faith, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So where does faith, this saving faith, which is a gift, is for a period. You see, when this saving faith brings you to the Father, do you need it anymore? Hardly. Because faith has turned into sight. Or regarding hope, which is very close to faith, do you need hope anymore when you're there? You don't, because it has been realized. The Puritans put it like this: faith and hope are divine crutches to get you to glory, but when you're in glory, you throw them away, but love continues. All right? Can you see the picture? Now then. And acceptance. Evidence faith in us and through us. The evidence of things not seen. The conviction that the promises of God are true. Now let me read you some verses in 2 Corinthians 18. Around about there. No, I've got the wrong chapter. Chapter 4, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18 to 5, verse 1. While we look at the things which are seen, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. Now, that puts things in their places. You know, your furniture or whatever, you know. It puts it there for money. They are temporal. They are for a while, a short period. But the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were destroyed, as this, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We have a home there. So, for by it, the elders, we are told, obtained a good report in such a faith as this. So the good report here is linked very, very closely to faith. Now, the determination of faith. Christians obtain a good report by a life of faith, a life that looks to God in all the changing scenes of life. And what changing scenes there are. I'm sure if all of us here now just went briefly through our lives, they would say, well, there have been many changing scenes. And memory sometimes can be happy and painful, but there were changing scenes of life. But nevertheless, one thing remained our same under the Lord's. There's a constance there that we were men and women of faith. Now, this call is a call to exercise faith in our lives. How do you do that? You see beyond your circumstances and see the hand of God. Now, often people say, I don't blame them for seeing it, because the first reaction, why? Why me? Why should this happen now? Then after you've settled down, you look beyond the circumstances and see the hand of God. I think sometimes, and this is probably true, that we will not see the full story of some things until we're in heaven. There's one very lovely Welsh hymn it's sung on special occasions. It says, it is then we shall see the twists and the turns and the bends of life and understand. It is then. We see some now in life. We'd only see them all then. Now, it's just a choice, live a life of murmuring and complaining. I'm sure that's not true of anybody here. You do your murmur, you complain, you find faults, you know. Pity you, poor thing, right? We do not live a life of murmuring, but we live a different life altogether. Listen to this, let's hear. Who through faith, Hebrews 11, 33 to 40, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women deceived their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, true enough. They were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about like in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith. So it comes again. It's the second one. So these all these people who went through all these persecutions and so on through the life of the Christian church, these all obtained a good report through faith. So that is who they are. Now, we observe a quality, a man of faith in Christ, a man who exercises this faith. Now then, this may sound a bit strange. Faith shines when it is exercised. You know, you could, let's just make a little illustration here. Supposing that you are going to a motor car sales place and you want a certain car, and in the window there's a lovely model. It's absolutely beautiful. You can call it faith if you like. And you say, well, that's lovely. I'll have that one. And the salesman said, well, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. The seats are lovely, everything. But it has no engine. All right, so if you tested it, it wouldn't perform. So many people may have a great deal of knowledge of the faith, but not the experience of it, or trust in the Lord. So when they are tested, they don't shine. Faith shines when it is tested. A car proves its merit when it is going and when it is in use. And so with faith. Faith, when it is exercised, it is then that it shines and shows its excellence. Lay hold on the power of God. 1 Peter 1:5, who are kept by the power of faith. God keeps safe our faith when we hold on to him. Faith is tried. It's put here in Peter again. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, that's the kind of most unpleasant thing, isn't it? Might be found, it doesn't mean literally fire, thing that are hurting like fire, though it be tried like fire, it may be found unto praise and honour in that day. So faith shines and shows its value when it is tested. And when it is tried, so you say, I've got a lovely car here. How does it perform? Well, I have no idea. I don't know how it goes or anything. But if you say, well, it performs well, it holds the road well, it turns corners well, it's a good car. And so you say, well, it's been tested, and you know it works. So with faith, how did they come through that illness? How did they come through that financial problem? Did it work? And they're able to say, thanks be to God for his mercy. Yes, it worked well. His hand saw me through, for my faith was in him. Now, there's a lovely hymn here, which I'll use. Oh, for a faith. This is a longing here. Oh, for a faith that will not shrink, though pressed by many a foe, that will not tremble on the brink of poverty or woe. It refuses to tremble then. That will not murmur or complain beneath the chastening rod, because sometimes God corrects us, but in the hour of grief or pain can lean upon its God. It's a test of faith. A faith that shines more bright and clear when tempests rage without, that when in danger knows no fear, in darkness feels no doubt. A faith that keeps the narrow way till life's last spark is fled, and with a pure and heavenly ray lights up the dying bed. Lord, give me such a faith as this, and then whate'er may come, I taste even now the hallowed bliss of an eternal home. And he brings us safely there. That's a very, very wonderful thing. Very wonderful. Now, he brings us safely home. Men and women of good report. Now, in the time, I don't know what they do now, but I'm just thinking of the early school days. At the end of the term, you're given a report to show your parents. And if it was a poor report, you were really anxious about it. But men of faith hold in their hands a good report, a good report, so that God will say, it is faith that saves them, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and he brings us safely home. He brings us safely home. And that's a remarkable thing. Now, what is our concern? There are many concerns. Do you know what our problem is? We forget who we are. We forget what we have. And we forget where we're going. And it's so easy, I know it, I do it myself, it's so easy to talk about ourselves without saying, but God help me, and leaving that out. But I have people, heard them say, when they've gone through the most appalling times, I wouldn't want to go through it again, but I wouldn't have gone without it, because it is there I proved the hand of God. Indeed, there I found the hand of God. It is so easy in our lives to have faith, to understand, and yet live on a parallel as if we hadn't got it, and react and respond as if we hadn't got it, and not avail ourselves of that which we have, you know, the riches that we have. Now then, why don't we? You know, it's all over the scriptures. Cast your care on the Lord, for he cared for you, and so on. There are many instances. But I thought I'd like to come to this hymn and dwell on it. O sacred head, sore wounded, with grief and shame bowed down, how scornfully surrounded with thorns thine only crown. How pale art thou with anguish, with sore abuse and scorn. How does that visage languish, which once was bright as morn? You know, when we're feeling sometimes have been hard done by, have you ever thought of that? Of Calvary itself? Of him there? Do you ever, you know, you could, sadly, we can be evangelical, knowledgeable, faithful, but we don't talk about the Lord. There's something missing. You know, you're bound to talk about him. The apostle said, we can't shut us up. We cannot but speak of the things which we have seen and heard. And you've heard the good people say in the old days, the Lord provided, or the Lord will provide. We're not anxious, because the Lord will provide. And if he doesn't, we trust him. If he does, we trust him. You know, that total belief in him. Thy grief and bitter passion were all for sinners gain. That's for us. Now listen to this. Mine was a transgression, but thine the deadly pain. Lo, here I fall, my Saviour. 'Tis I deserve thy place. Look on me with thy favour. Vouchsafe to me thy grace. And then it goes to something very lovely. What shall I say, Lord, when I look at Calvary? What language shall I borrow to thank thee, dearest friend, for this thy dying sorrow, thy pity without end? O, make me thine forever. Now that's lovely. Shall I ask that of us here now? Are we able to say, yes, he is precious to me, in adversity and prosperity, in riches or in poverty, whatever it may be? O, make me thine forever, and should I fainting be? Well, fair enough. You know, fair enough. You can have a sudden news and you almost collapse. You know, you almost collapse with either sorrow, disappointment or something. And should I fainting be, underneath are the everlasting arms. You mindful of that? Do we believe like that? Do we believe like that? Lord, let me never, never outlive my love to thee. Now then, here's a lovely stanza which I'm coming through. Be near me when I'm dying, or show thy cross to me. You see, this is going to be the experience of everybody in this area. Everybody. That's why we must not be silent. Now then, I'll ask questions like that. Is it fair? And me using myself, because I haven't had the opportunity today either. Do you witness? Do your neighbours know? You know, if there was a great earthquake on the way, you'd run and knock the door and say, there's an earthquake on the way. There's a warning. There's a warning, you know. There's a warning. But there's a greater thing than an earthquake. Eternal damnation. Have we told our loved ones? It's difficult to witness in a family, but we must. We must. The issue is too great. Be near me when I'm dying. Oh, show thy cross to me. Thy death, my hope supplying from death, shall set me free. All fear will go. Now look at this. These eyes, new faith receiving from Jesus, shall not move. For he who dies believing dies safely through thy love. And we all have to go that way. We all. But he who dies believing dies safely through thy love. That's a very wonderful thing. Then when you arrive, God will say, you have a good report. Now that's not works. What is my good report? The faith I gave you to believe in my Son. The faith I gave you to enable you through life. And you used it. You have a good report. Welcome. Come in, you good and faithful servant, and receive the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world.